One more big lesson. David has now heard from God. Pursue. You'll recover all. And they get down to Brook Besor, and 200 men can't take another step. Lesson. Just because you know you're in the way of God, just because you know that God is directing you and is guiding you to a certain thing, doesn't mean things aren't going to go wrong. This is a test. See, what could they have done there? Good grief. There's no telling how badly we're outnumbered. In other words, look to your heart. Reason. We're going to be terribly outnumbered. We need these 200 men. We better wait till tomorrow. You know what's going to happen to all the girls that night? They had a word from God to stand on, and nothing would discourage them. Every man that can go, let's go. Okay? But again, the fact that you've heard from God, God will still allow your heart to be tested. He had a word from God, from Gad. Stay in Judah. He didn't obey. Let's see if he's learned anything. He's got a word from God. Pursue them. Oh, but God, we can't pursue 200 men. Can't keep going. Pursue them. You will recover all. Now, when God tells me I'm going to recover all, I don't think... See, to me, I wouldn't think that meant after my wife had been abused for 6 days. I think I'm going to get her back intact, if you understand me. That's what I would understand it to mean. So again, the test is there, whether you've got a word from God or not. You can get a word from God, and it doesn't mean things are going to go smooth as silk. It means just keep believing and obeying. He spoke them from twilight even to the evening of the next day. Do you know how many men there must have been of them? That's all night and all day. That's a 24-hour sword fight. Listen, y'all. Let me tell you. I fought in the Golden Gloves. I was state runner-up as a middleweight in the Golden Gloves. And one of the things we used to do was punch the heavy bag. And we would work out combinations on the heavy bag. And let me just tell you something. I saw boy after boy lose for years. My cousin, who was 5 years older than I, was Mid-South Bantamweight champion. And I saw many a fight while he was fighting. And I saw many a boy that was very muscular, very strong, get beaten half to death because in a round and a half, he could hardly lift his arms. He got arm weary. You'd be surprised when you're hitting a heavy bag how quickly your arms turn to lead. So I would train every night after working out. Before I went to bed, I would take soup cans. And I would do this. Hold my arms out and wave them like this and turn it this way and turn it that way. And squeeze those cans for an extra minute past the normal length of the round. And then put my arms down and cut my rest time in half. In other words, the normal length of a resting in between rounds, I shortened it. And I would do that every night for 7 rounds, because in the Golden Gloves you only fight for 3 rounds. And I never got arm weary. But what I'm telling you is that heavy bag would get your arms weary. And I'm talking about, listen to me, not one of you in this room can punch a heavy bag for 5 minutes. You can't stand there for 5 minutes. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how much, because you're just not in that kind of condition. You have to condition and build yourself up for that. Your arms will go to lead. I cannot imagine a sword fight. There's no telling how many they are killing for 24 hours. You remember there was one of David's great heroes said that he fought so hard one day that when the day was over of slaughtering the enemy, the Philistines, he couldn't let go of his sword. It clave to his hand. his muscles, they just wouldn't let go. They had to pry the thing out of his hand. It says, there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men who rode upon camels and fled. The exact number that they had took off. And David recovered, watch this, all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued, there it is again, his two wives. We knew that when it said all. You'd say, well, since he shouldn't have had those two, they probably got killed. No, see, God doesn't think like we do. You may be wrong, and he may discipline you for being wrong, but how he does it, quite often, Ray, is different from how we had it figured out. And there was nothing lacking of them. Do you understand what that means? There was nothing lacking. Nothing happened to the girls. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters. Nothing happened to the daughters or sons. Neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Well, isn't that what God said? Isn't that what God told him when he went to the ephod? When he got the Abiathar, the priest? He said, you will recover all. All you have to do is pursue them. And David took all the flocks and the herds. Look at this one. Tricky little sentence. Which they drove before those other cattle. And he said, this is David's spoil. In other words, what it's talking about is, back in verse 16, they said that they had taken a great spoil out of the land of the Philistines and out of the hands of Judah. Those animals are being driven in one group, and what they recovered from Ziklag is in another group. And David says, everything from verse 16 are mine. They're the spoil. Now watch. You're going to see he took it not to get rich personally, but you're going to see what he did with it. Gratitude. Watch it. Okay? Verse 21, and David came to the 200 men who were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at Brook Bezor. Again, David forced them to stay there. They want, in other words, these men's hearts were to continue, as exhausted as they were. But David said, no, God said, pursue. You'll slow us down. You wait here. All right? And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. That's what that means. And he answered, then answered all the wicked men and sons of Belial, that means worthless jerks, of those that went with David. All right, some of the guys, some of the 400 that went with David are jerks. They're malcontents. In other words, they just didn't like Saul. It wasn't so much that they wanted to follow God. It wasn't so much that they wanted to follow God's anointed. It's just they didn't like Saul. And David was, for them, the lesser of the two evils. Okay? And so, here it is. He says, because they went not with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. In other words, we don't want these guys with us anymore. These guys have been fighting together for years, and they're physically exhausted, and that's it. Hey, you know what this reminds me of? You know what this verse reminds me of? The typical Christian church. If you don't do what we can do and what we think you ought to do, just get out. I know all kind of churches that shoot their wounded like that. I won't mention any, but I know some. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren. Oh, now look, y'all, I love David. Do you see it? This is a man after God's own heart. He has screwed up most of our lesson tonight, but now that he has gotten himself back right with God, look how softly he deals with these guys. He doesn't say, you hard-hearted bunch of jerks, you bunch of rednecks. My brethren. See, most of us don't want to call someone that's sinning and all screwed up in his thinking, my brother. Now, when you're spiritual and doing good, then you're my brother. Larry, then I'm proud, you know, I'm pleased to call Larry my brother. But when Larry's in the middle of sin and all screwed up, oh, I don't even know that guy. I love David. You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us. Ooh-hoo, ooh-hoo. He just reminded them, hey, this is not something we deserve. God gave us this. And look what he says next. Who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. You know what that means? Look at that. God gave all this stuff to us. He preserved us. You know what that means? Not one of them had lost their life. He went in with 400. He came out with 400. He said, No, God gave us all this. We couldn't have done this. You can't do this. You can't go into a sword fight with this many, again, outnumbered this horribly and win, and much less, much less not lose a man. He said, no, God gave us this. This isn't our booty. This is God's. And God delivered the company that came against us into our hand. He says, I'll not take credit as you. He didn't say, naturally, because of my incredible leadership and my battle plan, we snuff these guys. He said, look, can't you see it? This is all the workings of God. Question. Here we've got some jerks. I would have thought God would let the jerks get killed in the battle. But God knows what He intends for them, and by the time you get to 2 Samuel chapter 15, this same 600 is still with Him, and they're a different-hearted bunch. Because David is teaching them how they ought to be. Right after he had to repent himself. And he isn't he's teaching by his actions, not by pointing the finger and saying, you slimy mudballs. Brothers, we can't do this. God has delivered us. Okay? And then verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who tarries by the luggage, the baggage. They shall divide alike. In other words, though the honor was different to David and themselves and their family, they did do something. They did what they could do. They guarded, and they just couldn't do any more. And so it was from that day onward, he made it a statute and an ordinance in Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil to the elders of Judah. Remember, David said, all right, everything that the Amalekites have stolen from the Philistines and from the cities in Judah, not what was ours to begin with, but everything, that's mine. I'm the leader. I claim it. You say, well, that dirty dog, what a selfish... No, watch him. He sent of the spoil to the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present from you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And it mentions a bunch of the towns that he sent it to. And look at verse 31. And to them who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont or accustomed to haunt. In other words, to the people that had been good to them when they were running from Saul. They laid their lives on the line for him. He sent them a great blessing. So David took the spoil and taught his men generosity and to be grateful. Long lesson. This is the foundation for our next few sessions. Okay? This just gets it started. Would you stand? Big lesson to learn tonight. Independence from what God wants you to do and what you know God wants you to do invariably will lead to backsliding. Recognizing yourself as being a dependent creature and that God always wants you to depend on Him no matter how old you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how smart you are, will lead you to communion with God. I've got 14 years at the university. It'd be so easy for me to fall into the trap of thinking I can rely on my intellect. I did that most of my life. You want to know what it got me into? Trouble. What does following God get me into? Trouble. I can tell you right now, following God can get you into a lot of trouble. Just like it did David. But notice that God brought them through, listen to me, when he really didn't deserve it. Does God throw away his boys when they really dog it? If you ever wondered, you ought to want to know the answer. Floyd, I have really failed God. What's he going to do with me? He's going to bring you to repentance. Bring you to your senses just like he did with David. David didn't, you never read in this story tonight that David went searching for God. God brought him to his senses. God took the initiative. David saw the condition and refreshed himself in the Lord. I hope you guys will do the same thing.